Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we wanna be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We wanna send you off in style. We wanna welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
With Karen and Chris. Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
This is Karen Kilgariff. Ooh.
Ooh.
Look at this.
Do you like that position?
No.
Okay. Karen is driving my Honda Accord. We are in the car. That's what you heard, right?
We're yeah,
not
that's
in
right.
Studio. You can tell by the lowered sound quality.
Guys, this is, we're back to our roots.
Mm-hmm. Or roots, as some might say. Some people say creek or crick.
I mean, I want to say whatever sounds the most old-fashioned,
yeah,
and kind of Wild Westy.
So
I say roots.
We're back to our roots.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That guy pulled all the way over, and he didn't need to. And sometimes I find that's passive aggressive.
I think he's being condescending. Yeah.
But then it also could just be, maybe he just paid his car off and he's just like, please God, can I just have a nice thing for 5 minutes?
Well, people that live up here, there's a reason. I don't know where we are. Do you know where we are?
We're in the Burbank Hills.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Look at that reindeer. Oh, they're ready.
They are ready for the holidays.
It's pretty nice up here.
It is very nice up here. And whenever someone lives in a nice place, I consider it some version of white flight. Like, they're scared of people. And, of course, they pull over when they're driving because they think the world is going to attack them.
Yes, they do. They watch a lot of Fox News, probably, and they're told the world is going to attack them because that is what's financially beneficial for Fox News.
Yeah.
But I find also those same people that are like that also are the same people who get purebred dogs, bring them to the dog park, and then will not leave the fucking dog alone the entire time it's at the dog park.
Oh, yeah. When people get frustrated that their dog is playing with other dogs, which is why dog parks exist.
And the only thing a dog wants to do, they don't want to play catch with you. They don't give two fucks about you and your girlfriend. They just want to go run around. And, of course, my garbage dog, Frank, who can't not bark at every dog he sees, will run up to try to get the dog to chase him and bark at the dogs. Uh-huh. And then they're like, Scout, Scout! And then, like, start pulling the dog toward them as if Frank's going to attack them. And instead of understanding that that's how dogs interact and play with each other. And it's one of the most irritating things there is.
I don't like people at dog parks. I do like dogs at dog parks. I'm not a dog owner, but the times I've been to a dog park with a friend's dog, just watching them team up into cliques.
Mm-hmm.
It's
very high school.
Play little games. They get into groups and they're like, let's hang out. You have a similar build as me.
Yeah.
So we're going to have some animosity at first, but then we're going to team up. And then they of course team up on a little dog and knock him over, and he rolls around and knocks over the water bowl. It's so fun to watch dog communities form on some primitive level. It's like a society building. I love it.
I do too, and I love watching my dog.
God, that's an ugly mustard colored house.
Yeah, that's a horrible house.
We're talking about 1770 Cleveland. Go ahead and egg that thing. They won't see it because it's yolk colored.
What if there's like an old man sitting in his gorgeous Bose speakered room inside that house listening to our podcast and he hears his address?
He's just like,
what the fuck?
I finally made it.
Hey, they're insulting my beautiful mustard home.
I'm insulted yet so excited to be mentioned on Dinar.
I'm a Dinar head from way back.
I used to travel. If there was a bus, we used to do acid and go to city to city. I'm done with that character.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's hard. It's hard on the old vocal cords. Mm. Dynar means something other than "Do you need a ride?" Abbreviated, an acronym, if you will. Anytime an abbreviated word, you say it and it's a word.
Yeah.
It's called an acronym. People often call MIT, for instance, an acronym. No, those are initials, unless you call it MIT.
Oh, I see. When you speak it out as a word.
Yeah, then
so Dynar is in reference to something, what?
If on Instagram, every time I tag a photo or something, Dynar or Twitter, whatever your social medias, there's hundreds of them, and I click on it, and it's like Indian folks. So in India, I think it means something, like a celebration maybe, or what if I should do that research?
I mean, we could.
What if we're proclaiming something religious or political?
I feel like, and this is a total guess, isn't dinar or dinar or dinar money in India? Could be like the dollar over there.
Oh, wow.
But it's spelled with an I, not a Y.
No, this D-Y-N-A-R is a trending always. There's always hundreds of people talking about dinar, and then I'll click on it, and it's people in dressed up in nice robes and burkas and whatever, shawls, pashminas, sarongs, bedazzled capes.
Bindis on their foreheads?
Yes, bolero ties.
No,
I'm just saying words. But it is dinar. Dinar is something. And
someday we'll find out what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
And do a special episode on it.
Someone looked it up right now, and
they're going to let us know?
Someone corrected me the other day that the cook from You Can't Do That on Television is not Barf, it's Barth. I don't know. Maybe it was during another podcast. I don't know.
So someone that liked it enough to correct you during a different podcast.
they woke up, they opened their laptop, they cracked their knuckles, and they fired off a tweet directly to me.
That's kind of, but don't you think he was named Barth because it sounds like Barf, and he was a cook in a children's sketch show or whatever it was?
Also, I know the guy's name isn't Barf. I think I said Barth. I don't know.
Who cares?
Well, you can't do that on podcasts.
You can't be wrong about Barf on podcasts.
These houses are beautiful up here.
I know, aren't they nice?
Look at that one. What do these people do for a living? Something respectable.
They all own a piece of the Zancu chicken empire. Almost all of them. I actually looked at houses in this area.
Karen's funny, you guys.
I looked at houses in this area long ago when I bought my house.
Uh-huh.
And this is a very Armenian neighborhood, which is what that joke is about. If you're from a different part of the country and didn't get it, Zancu is local chicken restaurant that everyone loves.
Yeah,
and great. this is the highest percentage of population of Armenians outside of Armenia is in Glendale.
Really?
Which is where we are. We're the Glendale Burbank Hills.
Wow.
And there's tons of Armenians around here. And this is a generalization, but from the houses that I looked at, they love marble tile and gold fixtures.
Oh, yeah.
That was almost all the houses around here. On the outside, it looks like a normal ranch-style house. But the inside, it looks like a gorgeous palace, but only, like, say, 1,100 square feet.
I think I used to like tile and gold fixtures or brass. You know, I'm not rich. I grew up with a lot of brass. from a store down the street called Oak and Brass, everything there was made of oak and or brass.
Oh. That's so 80s.
But yeah, it was so 80s. Everything there, it's just walking into the 80s. But
Oak and Brass, I it would be a miracle if that place was still open.
I think it is. It's part of a place called Furniture Row. It just had to get absorbed by some sort of mattress outfit.
Yes, or by Moda Italia 2000 or whatever that place is.
It'd be fun to wear a mattress outfit and then just kind of purposefully fall down hills. I'm sorry. That's what they call a curveball in the biz.
Yeah, no one saw that mattress outfit joke coming. It was shocking.
And no one said goodbye to it.
No one let it in the front door. Everybody locked down for the evening.
Are you saying that I shouldn't have that be my Halloween costume?
Mattress outfit?
I'm a bed.
No, I think you shouldn't. But you will get tired within the first half hour and be really mad.
It would be funny to dress up like a pretty convincing bed.
A guy in his bed?
Yeah.
I bet that's been done.
I'm going to do... I mean, I did it before. I did a guy sitting on a toilet, so I turned my body waist down into a toilet. I paper mache'd my real toilet, put it around my waist, made little fake foam rubber legs with a carving knife and a mattress, which sure. is why I bring it up.
And I little love it.
So it really looked like I was sitting on a toilet, and it looked like the fake legs were my legs, and I'm sitting. It was so fun.
People loved it.
I went to costume contests. $200 here, $150 here.
Yes.
I just swept the town.
Fuck yes.
I didn't even have fun that night. I saw it as a way to make money.
It was, you were a businessman.
And I'm not anymore. I was in my early 20s.
You could do this again.
I think I want to.
Yeah, I think you should. You're an artist.
Get started on it.
You're a comedian and an artist. You're the one of the few people who could actually do a funny Halloween costume correctly. You know, there's a lot of people who are like, I know, I'll do a funny Halloween costume. I'm going to be a racist. I'm going to be in the KKK. Shit like that where you're like, no, this A isn't funny.
Yeah.
And then B, why would you put your time into that?
Right. I don't just think about how many people this year are going to be dressed as Trump. It makes me want to stay home.
Well, that's why I stay home.
So many people are going to be Trump this year.
Yeah.
Just with their shitty wig. Think of it. If there's a guy and he's in a store-bought Trump costume, I'm going to treat him like the actual Donald Trump.
And spit right on him.
Spit right into his bird's nest.
I'm going to grab his pussy. Sorry, I had to say it. It's topical. Apparently, we're all allowed to say it now. You can say pussy as much as you want. They do it on the news. Like, it's not a problem.
The funny thing is, I listened to that, and I was, of course, horrified. But when he said the way his delivery, and it was like being in a boy's locker room hearing that. All I left thinking after hearing that conversation was how much I didn't like Billy Bush, because he already was defending Ryan Lochley and defending rape and stuff, right?
Yeah.
He's a piece of shit already.
Yeah, he's a huge
but
piece
no
of
one
shit.
Knew. So with the Trump part, I'm like, yeah, oh, wow, he said the wrong thing. But when he said, oh, I just go up and I grab him by the pussy, he was trying to shock Billy Bush and make him laugh, and it worked. And then
yeah, it worked.
So I left that thinking, eh, Trump, he's same old Trump, but Billy Bush, he can go eat it. And
yeah,
he deleted his Twitter account.
Did he really? I'm sure people were totally attacking him.
What an admittance of guilt. Oh yes, every comment is about him, because the Trump thing isn't really news.
Well, also, you know, it boils down to a thing like that, whereas everybody knows kind of what Trump is on the surface. It's that thing of, and I think it's an impossible request, but it's that thing that, like, women talk about all the time, where it's just like, the Billy Bushes are worse than the Trumps, because Trump you can see coming.
Right.
It's the Billy Bush that you would trust, that you would tell stuff to, that you would treat like a friend, and that you would expect to be treated that way.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones that, like, but then when it's boys' time, like, all bets are off, and you can just fucking, like, demean whoever, whenever, for your own joy. That's I think, what women really fear,
yeah,
are the fake friends that are actually just total fucking pigs.
Yeah, it's a shame. There's some guy, UCB actor guy, that, you know, I'm part of the show sometimes as a judge, and he's one of the performers, and he seems nice, but he has this alter ego that online he says horrible anti-women things as a rape, what do you call it when someone does that? Rape apologist.
Yeah.
And it's not a character, I don't think. I think on
no,
some level...
No, there's a lot of guys that are like that.
It's fucking horrifying, because you wouldn't know from looking at the dude or talking to him. He seems nice, but once that was out there, you know, it's just so horrible that how often is that person just walking around and you think they're just a normal, nice guy, or maybe if at worst socially awkward or whatever, but inside they are
seething
terrible... They're terrible things because their mom burned them in a bathtub when they're a kid.
Yes.
Or for no reason, just because they're an asshole.
Because they're a sociopath. Yeah, exactly. Or they had either a bad mom, or they had a way too nice mom, or whatever. There's lots of reasons that people are damaged.
Every relationship I have that doesn't go well, I blame on being circumcised too late in my babyhood. He did a sloppy job. I don't know why he signed his initials.
I used to blame it a lot on that I was nursed. The nursing ended too quickly for me. But then my mother said, when I told her that I'd read that somewhere, and my mother said, it's always the mother's fault.
Oh, that's funny.
And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah.
Like, it's never like, what if it's because your dad was withholding or whatever.
Or your dad was physically actually pulling you away from her breast.
Now, it's my turn now. He would yell at a child. Gross.
You made the weirdest dad ever. Whose dad has that? Daddy wants a Milky. Daddy wants Milky. That's how he talks. We hate this person.
No, you know what? Now I'm on that rape apologist side because it all makes sense. So if you had just explained that at the beginning.
Yeah. If I just started this with my Daddy Want Milky character.
But I have to say, remember, you know, 5 years ago at the beginning of the, like, rape jokes are fine, whatever, Second Amendment or whatever the fucking argument that everyone was having?
Oh, kind of spurred. People are talking about it because of some Daniel Tosh joke.
Yeah, yeah. It was that whole
event.
I've heard
the joke, and man, it's a bad example of someone.
There's no way that joke could be funny. Setting it up that way of saying everything's funny no matter what, the end of that joke has to be so funny that it's impossible. He screwed himself by even setting something up that way. Because it's like, well, first of all, I don't know how funny you are to begin with. And now you're basically setting up this bar that you have to jump over that you're not going to be able to.
I've heard the real joke, and the people talking about it afterwards, it was worse. The way he delivered it, I remember, yeah, it wasn't the funniest joke in the world, but it also wasn't. He wasn't simply saying rape is funny, or it was. I can't remember. It's so hard to talk about people's material, but there's so many better examples, I think, of offensive. The people I just mentioned. I do think audiences act appropriately, though, when that word comes up, yep. They're kind of trained to not laugh.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, part of my point is that when that discussion started, it seemed so impossible because there was many, many more rape joke apologists and people who are like, look, it's not a problem or whatever. And over time, I think people have slowly begun to wake up to the fact that just because, like, it can't or doesn't or hasn't happened to you, that doesn't mean you get to dictate how people receive that
right
topic.
Sure.
And like, it's simply that it's not about, there's no answer to whether or not it's funny, because it's purely, you know, you have to be a great comic to be funny about a thing that's that sensitive. There are some who can do it, many who cannot.
I think the dumbest joke I have that is making light of pedophile, like where I'm like, I'm not trying to fuck your kid, he's a redhead, that's just a statement. But it is, what if someone, I don't even think about, what if there's a redheaded person that was molested,
yeah,
and they're sitting there, and I really touched on something. I guess I'm willing to take that risk.
Well, I mean, exactly. There's always someone.
That risk.
There's someone in the audience always that has gone through something,
yeah.
And it doesn't matter if you're being quote unquote risky or not.
Yeah.
That has a sensitivity. I've learned that.
I gotta write new jokes. I gotta quit doing that one. It always gets a laugh, though.
I've never heard you do that joke.
it's about me. I like kids, and when I see kids, I'm at the age where I should have kids, maybe, or this paternal instinct has kicked in, and I talk to kids that aren't my kids all the time, like if I'm in a mall or whatever, and people, of course, think that's weird. If you're like, hey, how are you, buddy? Usually the parents are right there, but just talking about makes people nervous, so that's why I throw that joke in there, and it really relieves the tension, but it also makes people think I'm weird.
Well, but that's funny, because that's true. Like, men your age, single men, kind of can't talk to children.
Mm-mm.
Especially with that mustache you have right now.
Yeah, it makes it even worse.
And especially with your windowless van. It's,
yeah.
I just don't think it's a good idea.
You think the hot tub's too much?
I mean, in the back of a van, yes.
make me have bad mileage, I'll tell you that. No, I do like kids. I went to a house, my friend.
Don't say it like that.
I love kids.
Yeah, but don't say all growly.
I do like kids.
I do.
Kids are a thing I enjoy.
No, I just do.
They're playthings. Look at that little guy. Look
Grab
at him.
Him.
Freak it out. He's the cutest.
Get him.
There's just a little kid jumping and yelling. Yeah, I guess I need to have some, or hang out with my nieces and nephew. That'll fulfilled a desire. I shouldn't be having kids as
desire
a single man.
Desire isn't the word you should use at all, ever. Isn't it? Desire shouldn't be accurate.
I just want to have kids around me.
Around my lap.
Oh, who's the comic that said sitting on a throne of boys? But Matt, God, he was so
Ingebretson?
Fun. No, from back in the day. Matt Weinhold.
Oh, yes. He's so funny.
He was great. He is great. I'm sure he's still great, alive.
Yeah. He's still alive and doing great comedy.
Is he doing stand-up?
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well,
I mean, I see him like once a year.
Oh, okay.
He's the best. Look at her outfit. Is that Kim Kardashian?
Wow, it sure looks like someone that follows her beauty tips.
Yes, she had a lot of contouring going on. Yeah. She was a gorgeous woman. And there was cutouts in her little black dress.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I first noticed her, was it looked like a chunk of her upper thigh dress was missing.
Oh, wow.
You didn't notice that?
I didn't notice that. No, I looked straight at her face out of respect. I look right in the eyes and I nod. Ma'am, I say to myself.
We're very close to the Moonlight Roller Rink right now. Have you ever been there?
No.
You've never gone roller skating at Moonlight?
No.
No. It's an old-fashioned, like, straight out of the 80s roller rink.
Oh!
Mrs. Ricardo!
That sounds splendid. I'd love to skate. I do like roller skating. I do enjoy it. I'm decent at it.
How about bowling?
Going counterclockwise. Oddly, similar leg thing that I do when I'm bowling. I take my right one, slide it behind the left. It's just with skating, I do it repeatedly.
That's right.
Not just as a celebratory move.
Very much the same form.
Yeah, yeah. I'm good at both. I'm really pretty good at roller skating. Speaking of pedophiles, though, there was a ice rink in Culver City that sadly just closed, but it was real cool because it's real ice. It's indoor. Of course, it's cold. It's not all year round, but I've been there a couple times because it was near my place in Mar Vista, and it's mostly kids. But there was a guy there that was in all black with like a turtleneck, and he was just creepy in general.
Yeah.
And he had bedazzled skates, like he covered his skates with gems, and he had these rings, like the Emperor's New Clothes rings. And he was going up to kids and shining his rings, and they'd be like, okay, weirdo, and they'd kind of look at the rings and then skate away. And he was...
Because he knew that children loved
he
jewels.
He was skating around, doing little spins, and just being real creepy. And then at one point, he was on the side... I was on a date. He was on the side of the rink, just looking through the glass into the, like, snack area.
Yeah.
There's just kids in there eating, and he's just... staring at them, and I just went up to him and I said, "You're acting peculiar." That's all I said, but he got very defensive, and then he just started focusing on, but I think he was getting away from himself.
Yeah.
And basically fucking licking his lips. It was real gross and scary.
Did he leave?
I had to tell this story because I wanted to contrast my jokey pedophile shit before.
Good idea. That you're also doing good in the community.
Yeah. He knew what I meant when I said that.
What else?
He was being real weird. He was showing his rings to, ooh, sparkly. It's funny because most of the kids are like, yeah, I've seen a fake emerald before, you weirdo.
Yeah, it's not. That's not a thing kids are into, per se.
No, no.
Men's jewelry.
I don't know if this used to work with you back in the 90s, but kids don't care about your jewels.
Or back when you were Vlad the Impaler.
He was a decent skater. At one point, he had a career on ice.
Do you think? Did he shoot the duck?
He probably had kids on ice in his... What is shoot the duck?
That's when you squat down and put one leg up straight in front of you, and then the other one stays in, and you...
Oh, yes, he did do that. But it was in the bedroom. I have a...
Chris.
I'm sorry.
Chris.
I'm sorry. You described something that did sound like a sexual body position, so I had to go in there with the... A lot of people would have did what I just did.
Yes, that's my point. A lot of people would have, could have. Oh, look at this man sleeping on a bus bench.
Oh, and he's a regular guy.
Yeah, he doesn't look homeless.
He's got like Dre headphones.
You know what he looks like to me? It's like they're tourists and they've spent the day trying to get around Burbank and Los Angeles, and they're like out here stuck at that bus stop. And he's had it.
Yeah, I bet you're right.
Then I feel so bad for tourists that come to L.A.
Oh, it is. There's this Japanese couple that were walking around with a map upside down. And they were like trying to... They were walking along by the studio Paramount. And I was like... They just came up and they're like handed me the map. And they're like, Highland. And I was like, oh, let's see. And then I had trouble with the map, which was in all English. I was like, where the fuck is Highland on here? And I had to direct that. I was like, you have to walk like 10 miles that way. And I tried to tell them about Uber, and they didn't know what I was saying, though, and their phones were in Japanese. And I'm just like, fuck, I'm sorry. And they just were, I felt so bad because they wanted to go up to Hollywood and Highland, probably. They wanted to, like, see the Hollywood.
Sure.
And they
But
were
why not get a translation book? How can you...
Yeah, they were kid. They were very young. They were basically me if I went to Europe when I was... Or somewhere where they actually don't speak English. You know, when I was young. I can see, like, well, we'll just go there and walk around. It'll work out. But it was not working out.
Well, but it rarely works out for tourists in Hollywood because once you get away from... Hollywood and Highland and Vine and La Brea, which is basically what, 3-block, 4-block distance. It's shit town. It's awful over
there.
You
either make it into the shit town or you're, by that point, you're already in the sex industry. You've been sold into sex.
You've been sold in and you're just doing it for a living. It's tiring. The decor is not that nice.
It's mostly brass. We've only been podcasting for 25 minutes. Is that surprising to you?
It is surprising to me.
Yeah. What is the clock off on this beast?
I don't know. Well, maybe just because we'd already started.
Oh, yes. Yes, we did.
It seems like longer.
Previous thing. Well,
previously on Dinar. I'd like to record all of our previously ons if we ever have to do that.
Oh, that would be really fun.
Previously on Dinar. I'll do it like that.
Has there been? There probably has been. But Martha Kelly did a Funny or Die thing. It was like with BJ Porter and Scott. It was called, what's it called? It was a parody of a soap opera. Lake Charles Lake. Did you ever see that?
No.
It was like an overly dramatic, Joe Wagner was in it and he was great. Martha was great and I was in it. Tig was in it. Patrick Keane was in it. It was really fun, and it was a parody of soap operas, and there was a lot of recaps and previously ons. And I want to do that again. I think someone should do that again. Well, now I'm just giving the idea away. It's not
even my
idea.
Well, someone already did it. You can't give it away.
Who did it?
You guys did it.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. I forgot about the version that I just brought up.
You're not talking about a dream you hope comes true. It happened.
It is good. Yeah, it is good that it is online permanently. I did Q&A at the graduation of some comedy class today. And they asked if I worry about firing off my jokes on Twitter, which I thought was a good idea from brand new comedian people. And I said, I don't worry about it at all, because if anything, you're taking your idea and you're time stamping it permanently as evidence in case... You see someone, I think it keeps a lot of people from doing that. It's like, or does it? I don't know. Maybe I'm being naive. But.
Well, I mean, the timestamp thing really is the main reason that I don't not do it. Because that's what I used to think the same thing. But it's like, A, if you want to be a comedy writer, and if you're doing stand-up, you are a comedy writer, then you should get used to churning out massive levels of material. That's part of it.
Right.
And when you can timestamp it, then all of that is just like, oh, I thought of that first. Then you actually have proof if you thought of it first or not.
Yeah.
But for the most part, there should be no joke that you think is so precious and dear that you can't make it public that way.
Right. Yeah. I wish that it had been around when I had that Dimitri Martin problem where he had similar jokes verbatim. And I was like, hey, take my word for it. Rather than being accusing someone, I'm like, I have a joke just like that. I wish that I had had Twitter or something where it was on, or on YouTube. I didn't have that kind of proof. And now it's like, I think it's handy. So that's what I should have said to that class.
Well, I mean, you know, they shouldn't be doing stand-up anyway, so it's fine. Don't worry about
it. No one new should get it. It's so much of me wanted to say that. Because my stance on it, they were asking all these hopeful questions, and I think I was just... I'm like, it takes at least 15 years. And yeah, you're going to keep asking for work, but you might not get it. Success comes and goes. Right now, I'm in a real lull. Is this helping you guys?
You just start crying.
Yeah, they wanted to hear, like, how do you get work? And I'm like, still a mystery to me, and I make a living doing this. I don't know how you get into comedy clubs. I bother them. They don't respond. Okay, next question.
Well, and also, I'm glad you did that, because really the answer is no one can walk you through this. You don't get the easy way, especially in stand-up comedy. If you really want to do it, you have to go and eat shit for a long time and get better.
That's all I kept saying is I just keep doing it, and I don't know why I'm doing it. Things happen peripherally, jobs, you know, writing jobs, commercial work, hosting jobs, things. But I just keep doing stand-up. It's fun. I like it.
Yep.
I don't know why. You shouldn't ask why. You should just want to do it.
You should know why you want to do it instead of asking someone else why they do it.
Yeah. God, I wish you were there to be behind me like Flavor Flav and just yell, be my backup wingman.
Just yell bitchy shit at children who are just trying something. Stop trying this. You already failed.
There's no reason to start doing stand-up that isn't the wrong one. No matter what your reason.
You're always wrong.
You're always wrong.
And to be good at stand-up, there has to be something deeply wrong with you.
Yep.
To be a funny person, you need to be in serious pain and very flawed and fuck up all the time.
You had to be yanked away from a breast. You had to be burned in a tub.
You had to just have a deep-seated personality disorder where you're a narcissist.
Yep.
Self-serving,
of course.
And also don't have a lot of shame or feelings.
Yeah. Or you just got funny parents and they were like, hey, you're funny. Do you want to do comedy?
That's necessary.
Some level of that happens also.
If your parents are boring or assholes, you should probably become an accountant or a therapist, probably. It would be good.
Yeah, do you have a lot? I can't think of anyone right now, but I know they exist. Funny, legitimately funny people to where when you meet their parents, you're like, oh my God, how?
April Richardson?
April is, but yeah, that, I, there, but no, her mom wasn't, I could tell that she has
a good sense of humor.
Yeah, yeah, just not a good, you know, sense of style, like comedy style or whatever. Well, what am I saying?
She loves Steve Harvey.
She loves Steve Harvey. Like, if you love a comedian.
Look, there's the debate.
Oh, wow. I should be watching it. I'm supposed to watch it.
Oh, it's right now.
It's happening, but I can catch up later.
I feel a little fatigued. I feel like I know what's going to happen. I watched the first one, and I was in such a deep cringe the entire time that I hurt my neck.
Yeah.
Because he shouldn't be there.
Did you really hurt your neck?
Yes. We were watching it at work, so I had to look to the left to watch it for an hour, and... It was him going wrong, wrong, and just everything about him.
I was sweating.
He doesn't know the rules. Mm-mm. He doesn't have real answers. He's a fraud, and yet he is so psychotically narcissistic that he thinks he's getting away with it.
And yet he still had a couple of applause breaks. Like,
yeah, but someone psychos. Else mentioned that. Oh, maybe it was you and I talking about it. Yeah, because the people that are that support him are. They would applaud him murdering a baby with his hands. They're not okay,
it's
those
sad.
People.
Yeah, there's a section at the debate in the audience for overalls only.
Well, and also they were told repeatedly you can't applaud.
Uh-huh.
And they did it, of course, anyway, because these days in our society, everyone thinks they're the exception to the rule.
Right,
and so
of course.
It doesn't matter. If the rule says you can't do it, I can because it's me, is everything in our society.
And
I'm coming down on society.
Isn't it? So, of course, Pence would not have had anything to do with the debate tonight, the vice presidential one. But did he ever read? It's not official yet, but he's dropped out, most likely?
There's rumors that he is being asked to be He is asking to be taken off the ticket.
Oh, you can't take yourself off?
I mean, I don't know.
I wonder.
I think it's like if you get nominated, that's an official thing.
He just keeps going to places with whiteout and...
No, not me.
No.
Don't pick me.
No, it's Eddie Pence, Los Angeles comedian. here's Flappers. I headlined this place.
Jeff Garland's in there.
Look at that, Jeff.
Tonight.
Is he doing some loose material?
He's going to loose meat it up.
He's going to loosey-goose it up. Jimmy Pardo. Here's a plug for Flappers. Jimmy Pardo, October 10th, Pauly Shore.
That will be a show worth going to, Jimmy Pardo.
Yeah, Jimmy Pardo is, he's one of my, I mean, he's not old enough to be, but he is one of my comedy dads a little bit.
Yes.
He took me out
hero,
on the road.
Oh.
No, fatherly.
Oh, I see.
Advice. I don't. Yeah, it's weird to say. He did always
you
his
favorite.
You guys
would be a great show to watch together.
It would be fun. We used to, he'd take me to lunch when we were on the road, and you'd go to a restaurant, and he's like, "Hi, how are you? My nephew's in town. This is my nephew, Chris," to the waiter, and then they're like, "Oh, yeah, he just graduated from Naval Academy. Tell him, Chris, tell him about the Navy." It's like, oh, fuck, come on. And you had to, like, play along. Otherwise, he'd actually get mad at you. And it's that thing that he does in, like, Todd Glass where they assign you a comedy sketch that you do not want to do, but you have to do it.
Yeah.
There's an obligation to do it with only...
I would
guys.
Literally walk away if I was there. I so don't want to trick normal people who don't understand anything that's happening. I'm not interested in that.
I didn't want to either, but I remember a very fun version at the Olive Garden where I had to talk about him being my uncle for quite a while.
And that you're in the Army or in the Navy?
Or the Air Force or the Marines.
Or the Marines.
I couldn't remember which branch.
We don't ask for experience. We give it.
Wow.
Remember that commercial?
No, I was hoping
Army,
you'd...
Navy, Air Force, Marines. We don't ask for experience. We give it. And
really?
We don't something else. We live it.
Wow.
Remember?
It sounds more like it's a, you know... jingle for Pontiac.
Taurus. Now there's an American car. Look at
that's
this.
That's exactly
what
you've
been looking
for. Taurus.
Look
Taurus,
at this.
Taurus. Taurus.
Taurus.
You've driven a Ford lately. You remember the English rock version?
Lately.
Driven a Ford lately. the mountains right now are being kissed by an angle of the sun that can only be described as beautiful.
This is magic hour, they call it in the movies, where the sun goes down, but it's still up, but all the light gets diffused, and it's very pinkish
I think it's
and golden.
It's called twilight hour.
You're wrong.
It's magic hour?
Yep.
Look at the sun as it cascades over the IKEA that I went to twice this fucking week.
Why?
I went to buy curtains. They were labeled under the ones they had on display. Perfect size for my windows. The ones I reached down and grabbed were made for a castle.
They went all the way to the ground.
Yeah, they were big, long tapestry flags like Hitler used to have at his speeches.
You couldn't cut them in half and have four curtains?
Yeah, but they still had that swastika on them. See, that's good timing.
You know, we went to Staples before this podcast started to buy a, what do you call it, card.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl, I don't know if you noticed that girl that works there, she had red hair and a ponytail and red lipstick on. I was already at Staples earlier today buying printer ink.
Uh-huh.
And so when I walked in, it was the funniest thing. She had that look of shock on her face.
Oh, that's funny. How are you here twice in a day? I have to come here once a day and I don't understand it.
Yeah. It was like she wanted to say, "What, you're back?" But she didn't say it
that's
out loud.
That's funny. Yeah, that IKEA, laugh. There's a greeter. And he is from Sweden. He's like an old Swedish guy.
Oh.
And
do they have that at all of them or just that one?
I don't know. He just happens to be. So they're like, we gotta get this guy to at least hand out shopping carts.
Or something.
And he remembers me having left a couple days earlier. And I came back to return the curtains. And he's like, "Returning those curtains, huh?" And I'm like, whoa. Because that, hundreds of people he had small talk with. I'm just saying that guy had a great memory. He deserves the free meatballs they give him.
How old was he?
78.
oh shit, dude.
Yeah.
He's doing good.
Mm-hmm.
You're like me,
where it's like if someone's above 65 and they have a better memory than me, I want to give them like a Nobel Peace Prize.
If I meet an old lady in the store, you know, every once in a while, I don't know if this happens to you, it happens to me a lot. Old ladies will talk to me like if we're both in the fruit section or whatever.
Sure.
Or it'll be like, I thought these peaches went out of season a week ago, whatever.
Yeah,
I'm always having those kind of conversations. And anytime it's a lady who looks like she could be 78 or 80, when I walk away, I start crying. Because God bless them for still being so sharp that they are out shopping for themselves, probably drove themselves there, getting it done, and then aren't riddled with Alzheimer's. I love it.
I also cry at that, and I think that it's obviously because we both have that in common.
No, I think it's because I'm bipolar.
Oh, it's because of your emotional problems. Okay, well then I don't know why I do it. Maybe I just had something in my eye every time I talk to the elderly.
Oh, you should go to an allergist.
Maybe I should.
Maybe you're allergic to old people.
I'm very allergic to those Santa Ana winds.
Now we're driving into the sun, but it's such a pleasant experience because it's the whole sky is gold.
It is entirely gold. It is gold like the end of The Outsiders, and I don't know if that means, is there a fire or is it just, there's a haze over the mountains. The sun is just.
I think we've got a marine layer. And I think that's making everything look real pleasant.
What we have here is a cold front coming in over the initial Arctic flow, causing what will be tomorrow, hey folks, sunshine. Do you think I could have been a meteorologist?
Yes.
Thank you.
Voice alone, you could have.
That's probably just the voice.
I like to look and see if we are ever getting what the percentage chance of rain is. It's been 0% for literally 1 year. I'm going fucking crazy. I need moisture. I'm from San Francisco where there's fog and rain often. And this place is like an old, caked up, leftover bar of soap in an abandoned house.
We live in a urinal cake with crime.
It's terrible.
There's got to be people that hear us listening, you know, our fans in Seattle and Portland that just are like, fuck you guys.
Yes, all the people who are going through the hurricane.
They're standing right now with headphones, drenched, like looking like the girl from The Ring, just wet.
Well,
jealous.
If you're, please know that I am jealous of you.
Yeah.
If you're damp right now in any way for any reason, and I don't want to hear why, I'm jealous of
you. This is a classic case of the grass being greener on the other side, except here it's all dead, so it's not that case.
There's no green.
There is no grass here.
It's all flown away and burned up.
Yeah.
God damn it.
God damn, we're in a drought and we're angry about it.
We just want one rinse off. That's all I need. It can rain for 15 minutes. That's all.
Just to get some of this oil off the streets.
And the oil off all these goddamn birds.
These birds are riddled with oil.
They're filthy birds.
They have combination skin.
They need an acne mask of some kind, but first rinse it.
I went to Ross Dress for Less to get some shirts, and they had all these. I bought like two different night masks, and I wore one the other night because someone with Tourette's basically said, oh man, you got some wrinkles this year.
Oh,
I'm like, what? Like, I guess I have some laugh line or crows, you know, it's inevitable. I'm starting to look my age, whatever.
But also, it's a natural thing for your face to bend at certain areas.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I bought a lot of lotions because they're like normally $50 and they're $5 under a pair of underwear at Ross.
That's right.
And
probably because there's a chemical in them that burns off your skin.
It does burn.
Does it burn?
There is. I have like red patches on my face. I don't think it's good for you.
Is it a retinol? Does it have the ingredient retinol in it?
Oh, should I not be using that?
Well, it's just very. That's the strongest one you can have. That's like middle-aged lady face mask.
No, I did see that. Yeah, no, that's it's really expensive. Like Rock brand retinol therapy.
Yes, but it actually works. Of all the things that they say work, retinol actually does.
Because you're burning off your skin.
Because, yes, you have to. You just take it off, just micro layer by micro layer.
What about...
Get rid of it.
And, God, it's really funny that I'm a man who's just
who's ready to have this conversation.
Yeah, I've been in fist fights in my life, but I the lotion that I have that has alpha hydroxy acid is that does that work?
That's very good. Yes,
it's just Neutrogena. You know, it's a man's lotion. Yeah, it's slightly tinted. But I didn't do that on purpose.
That's not a man's lotion.
But I shaved the other day and put it on, and it was...
girl.
I was Macaulay Culkin from that classic scene. And Daniel Stern takes it in the nuts, later turned to a movie called Home Alone.
Right.
It really burned my face, like sea breeze.
Oh, remember Seabreeze?
Oh, God, don't I?
God, and that shit is so bad for your skin. Like, Seabreeze and like, St. Ives Apricot Scrub.
Yeah.
Like, that's the worst thing you could do if you have acne.
It?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
All those things, and that's all we were doing in the
80s. My beautiful sister always had, in high school, like, the most judgmental years for a young girl had acne and... was using all that stuff.
Yep.
It was Seabreeze and Oxy-10 and fucking...
Yep. All that shit.
And it was so frustrating for her.
I remember the first time I saw a Proactive commercial, and it was this whole thing of, like, gentle cleansing and this and all the before and after pictures. And I was just like, we've truly come into a new age where they've prioritized this problem and actually solved it. Not just like, here's a bunch of shit to scrub your face with, it's the wrong thing.
Right, right.
But actually did research. Like, that's why I feel like those people, I hope they make billions of dollars, because then kids don't have to have fucking horrible acne anymore.
Yeah, it's the worst.
It's awful.
I was lucky. My mom and I never had a bad acne problem. But my mom divvied out all acne advice. Oh, don't touch it. Never pop it.
Yes.
Yeah, you leave a whitehead on your forehead. Yeah, of course.
My mom did the exact same thing. Don't pick your skin. Don't pick your face. Where it's like, what am I supposed to do?
If you went to a place and paid someone, that's what they do.
Yes. You got to get rid of it.
I think I don't remember if someone professionally... I know that there's people out there that professionally, if you get a facial, they pop... It's just like a civilian.
Yes.
They don't do it. They maybe clean their fingers.
They'll wear gloves.
Yeah.
Hopefully. And they do it in a circular motion, so they don't scar or break your skin.
If wearing gloves makes you a specialist, call me a doctor and a pro skier. I don't know if that makes sense, but I'm just saying gloves don't make you... You know what I meant.
Well, don't wear ski gloves to pop zits. That's not going to help.
Only
you.
Because it makes it harder to pinpoint. You're squeezing half your face if you're. And don't get me started on mittens. I can't even get my boot in the bindings. For some of you out there that have snowboarded.
Now we are
Look at the sky.
It's so gorgeous.
I love it.
This is Instagram ready. This sky.
I'll take a goddamn picture.
Do it. It's so
leave
pretty.
Leave it as the.
Just it's all clouds. It looks like. I'm sure the chemtrails people are going batshit bananas tonight.
It's going to be beautiful. And we're going to have this picture on the... It always looks ugly to have someone's tail lights in front of you. But
get those birds on the wire in there.
My windshield is so... I washed my car and then scrubbed it down with a towel that I... And like I said before, previously had used to clean an elephant's butthole or something. It's a very dirty towel. Very dirty towel. I don't know why I ruined my car wash. Anyway, I got a picture of the beautiful sky.
Good.
We'll be a...
That'll go on the website that we have built next year.
Yes, yes. No, I'll just put it as an image for this episode, perhaps.
Where are your... Oh, nice. Are the lights on now? I just turned a thing over here.
I think you... Yeah, it looks... Yeah. Did you twist it? It's probably the same as your Honda. Well, this was a good episode. Did you have an enjoyable time?
I really did. I laughed, and
It's kind of fun to be in the car as just a novelty treat.
I gotta say, I do love the car.
It was fun, right?
I mean, I think it's where I think there's something about the distraction of the drive and the changing scenery that makes it like when we're in the studio. As much as I love it because it's convenient, it's almost. It's so static. It feels almost tiring.
Right, right. I agree too. It was exciting at first, but now I'm seeing the benefits of being in the car. Maybe sometimes we'll do the car sometimes.
I think we can. I think when we have time. I mean, my job is going to get easier because we just finished taping my episode for my show. So the work, I mean, I'll still, obviously there's six more episodes to make, but
sure.
I will just that basically.
I think just this conversation is making some people just jump up and down.
About what?
Enjoy, with joy. They like it in the car.
They do like it in the car. I want to give... Listen, if there's people that actually regularly listen to us, then I want to give them what they want out of this stupid fucking show. Don't you? I mean, if this changes your life somehow, let's make it good for you.
Yeah, for me, honestly, I'm such a... it's almost like OCD. I just want the title of the podcast to still match what it is. Isn't that a dumb reason?
What do you mean? Oh, like that we're doing
do
a thing
that...
Do you
need a ride? Yes. But then we're in a studio and new people will be like, what? I don't understand.
I know. There was somebody the other day that asked me about it. And then I was like, but now we do it in the studio. And then they were like, wait, why? And then I was just like, we've convinced ourselves it's more convenient.
Yeah, yeah.
But, fine.
Well, we'll occasionally be in a studio. It was just nice to have that option because it sounds so good.
Well, and it's a fun changer up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, riffing wise.
Yeah. It
right?
is nice. Yeah.
Do you have any plugs?
April and I were going to work on a little, Northwest tour of sorts. We're throwing that together.
Good, good.
Nothing solidified, but late November, early December.
That's great. That'll be fun.
Seattle, Portland, those other towns that exist.
Pacific Northwest,
yeah,
keep your eye peeled.
It's my favorite part of the country, honestly.
It is the best. When I was up, I think we talked all about it on this podcast, but when I was up there a year ago for that All Jane Comedy Festival.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I wanted to live there because, again, moisture,
yeah.
So many women wearing clogs.
Yes.
So many women with hair like mine.
Earthy.
Not your
clogs. Sorry, I was still on the clogs.
No, it's okay.
So you have earthy hair.
That would be kind
you
of
know
a good
who
slam.
Does?
Now this guy's turning pink, blue, and gold. It's
this is
quite
ridiculous.
Amazing. Quite good.
This is like that dress that split the nation.
I think it's yellow and blue.
Well, I think you're a communist. So a girl got really mad at me because I saw a gold and white dress in the photo. It's a gold and white dress. And someone's like, I'm looking at a blue and black dress, and you're lying to me right now. And I'm like, I think you're lying. I don't believe that you actually see that.
Yeah.
It was so hard. And how has it not been explained to me?
Well, I mean... You probably haven't, like, really tried to look at, like, a YouTube video of somebody explaining it, right? Or anything?
Boy, no, I don't have that kind of time.
because they do explain it. It's just the way some people's, like, eyes pull in light or something.
Yeah, it just threw me off because how many times then is someone wearing a crazy outfit? Like, when you do see someone with pink socks and an orange shirt and they think it's the same color. Is it a color blind thing or...
No.
It's a lighting thing. I just don't...
light, and it's, I think, the way some people's eyes are. I think it's just... It's that kind of anomaly. Because I see blue and black. I cannot understand how people see gold and white. It doesn't make sense to me. And what I love about it is, really, it seems to me to be kind of... It's very representative of, like, the way this country has gone politically, where people see things differently and refuse to entertain that the way... other people see things could be right
well,
in any
yeah,
way.
With this, I couldn't. I was like, there's no way your eyes are seeing... How often has this come up then in life where, because of lighting, you're seeing a different thing than me? This dress is the first instance where everyone was like, holy shit.
Right, exactly. Well, and that's a good thing to doubt, your own perception, because we're all just flawed human beings that project and have weird rods and cones in our eyes, and
yeah,
who the fuck knows what's
constantly
going on.
Firing the rods, the rods, that is, the cones, of course, receiving.
Oh, is that true?
Light? Nah, who knows?
Maybe it's like if your rods are bigger, then you see blue and black, and if your cones are bigger, you see yellow and gold.
Yeah. Well, something. I know my rod's bigger when I see some nice cones.
Goodbye.
Hey.
I get out of the car.
You just roll into the street. Karen, no, that's not the joke I want you to die on.
Wait. Did I ever tell you this story? Our friends, the Gardners, it was my mom's best friend, Cynthia Gardner, her daughter, Carrie, who was now like a surgeon or something. She's really smart and a really, my we always heard stories about Carrie Gardner because she was so funny. And when she got taught how to drive, when she they drove home from her driver's test, she was so excited. She was driving home with her dad, and she was so excited to tell her mom that she passed her driver's test that as they were pulling up to the house, she saw her mom in the driveway, and she got out of the car as she was driving toward the house.
Oh, my God.
She took off the seatbelt and got out and was like, Mom, I passed, and got out of a moving car.
And then what happened to the moving car?
The dad had to reach over and, like, pull the emergency brake. That's like, my favorite story because it wasn't, she's in no way dumb or even an airhead.
Yeah.
She just, like, was excited.
Oh, wow.
And, like, kind of forgot.
Have you ever noticed this Toyota dealership, how they propped up mannequins to look like people?
Yes.
We want it to look like people are looking to purchase cars.
There's many, many customers everywhere around our lot, and you can be one too.
And sometimes they are wearing clothing that is very bleached by the sun for many years.
And sometimes their faces are plastic. Are you doing Russian? What is this?
I'm not racist enough to pinpoint an accent. I just spread it across the board.
Oh, good.
Because I hear no evil. I don't know. I was just a car dealer.
All right.
I could have been like, hey, do you want a new car? Look at all these interested buyers.
That would have been better. I feel like I would have been more comfortable and less triggered if you had done that accent.
This has been a very racist episode out of Chris Fairbanks. Very. What has happened to me? I moved to this city.
You start seeing things color only. There are some people who claim to see no color. Total bullshit. And also not the goal.
It was the funnest thing ever for my sister and I to quote lines from Coming to America. We really loved that movie when I was young. And then in college, she took African American studies and came home one day and she said, hey, we can't do those voices anymore.
Did you, because you used to scream sexual chocolate at each other, like the way me and my friend Jennifer Gearing
used
to? Joe
Louis, best boxer ever lived. You know, we did.
And, of course.
And then it was like, that's wrong. And I was like, oh, okay. I guess you're right.
I mean, it's not fair, though, because Eddie Murphy, when I was growing up, Eddie Murphy was right there in my life in the same way George Clooney was, where it's like right at the best age.
Yeah.
That was the guy that was in every movie and on every TV show. And so we were his fan. We listened to his stand-up tapes.
Yeah.
Like, he was everything. And you wanted to talk like him because you wanted to say funny things like
him. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, but also you're not allowed to. Look at the sky.
Look at this guy. Oh my God, we're taking
Look at
another.
This guy.
Look at this guy. Look at this guy.
That looks awesome. And that's all pollution.
Oh, there's always a car in the way.
It's hot pink. Well, go on Instagram for the evening of August 9th, and you'll see. I mean, October.
Yeah, yeah. Just it's going to be a trending topic for as far as sunsets. Okay.
And it's if you see any sunset picture, it's about our podcast, Dinar.
Yes, yes. Unless, of course, you're talking about Indian weddings.
And then Dinar, baby.
And then Dinar.
I think the Indian one is Dinar, baby, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. So congratulations to them.
Do you need a reception is what their hashtag is. Good?
Yeah, you're
okay.
Quick. You're
great.
Quick.
That's all I want.
I'm going to say this was your episode, Karen.
Well, did I really shine?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
I gave a little bit of a luster here and there, but I was mostly asleep at the wheel.
I disagree, but here's what I will say.
I was fishing.
My plug is that we're doing business class this Wednesday.
Oh, yes. If you're in Los Angeles on Wednesday.
October the 12th, I believe, is Wednesday.
Improv Laboratory.
10 p.m. Improv Lab. Chris Fairbanks, Karen Kilgariff, April Richardson.
Several others.
Yeah. There's some really good people. I think Dave Anthony's doing it.
Oh, cool.
I think Rhea Butcher might be doing it.
Oh, cool.
Andrew Michon, I believe, is doing it.
He's...
Skateboard King.
He's really good at skateboarding.
I'm going to talk to him about skateboarding.
He rips.
I love knowing that fact. I wish I knew a fact like that about every person I knew.
Yeah, yeah. My phone doesn't work in the city I live in, so I'm unable to look anything up.
Okay,
so,
good.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Anyway, we've concluded this episode. It was a good one. You enjoyed it. You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? DYN.
AR, honk, honk.
We're in traffic. We didn't want to honk.
Can't.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.